From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in San Francisco in 1978. The national gay rights movement was gaining prominence, and a man named Harvey Milk was urging gay men and women to come out of the closet to oppose anti-gay efforts around the country, including the Briggs Initiative and the Save Our Children campaign. In response to Milk's call, the San Francisco Gay Freedom Day Marching Band was formed, making it the world's first openly gay and lesbian performing arts group. And later that year, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus was formed. Now, they held their first rehearsals in October 30th, 1978. So think about that. Just a few weeks later, Harvey Milk was assassinated at San Francisco City Hall. And that night, the Gay Men's Chorus performed at a makeshift memorial for Milk and for Mayor George Moscone, who was also killed. They sang, "Thou, Lord, hast been our refuge," in front of tens of thousands of mourners. Not long thereafter, the group became a national success, praise from critics across the country, building a fan base. And it was 1982 that saw the birth of the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus, which is getting ready to celebrate their own anniversary, 35 years. This hour, a conversation about the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus, its history, its place in community conversations, and its future here. My guests in studio include Rob Strauss, the artistic director of the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Also here is Ted Smith, board chair for the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. Ted, welcome to you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thomas Warfield is a Rochester Gay Men's Chorus alumnus. Welcome to you, Thomas.
Oh, thank you. Always good to be here.
And John Williams is a longtime supporter of the chorus. John, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Evan.
Rob, I was mentioning before the program began here, I was keen to learn about exactly how the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus was founded in 1982, and I started digging into the history of gay men's choirs across the country. I did not know about the connection to not just Harvey Milk, I mean, that's not a surprise, but right. His assassination just weeks after their rehearsing and their first performing. That, what a, you know, just eerie and moving thing to hear that story. And I assume that you all know that story much better than I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus started in 1982, as you said. There were five men who had a love of music and wanted to be out and open in a time period where it seems like closets were being shut again, you know, during the beginning of the AIDS crisis. So these five friends rehearsed on November 18th. We'll come back to that date, I'm sure, later in the program. But on November 18th of 1982, and by May, they performed their first concert with about 20 or so singers, I believe. And it's just, it's amazing. Ted and I joke that we weren't alive yet, but I was just barely a teenager at that point, and I remember being a confused young gay man in a world where we, like I say, closet doors were being sort of shut again, as it were.
Can I just ask about that, Rob? Because I think there's this view that, you know, before the AIDS crisis, mm-hmm. that there was some kind of momentum and progress, and I wonder just how much the AIDS crisis blunted that. Because even in San Francisco, there's this idea that, well, San Francisco, of course, mm-hmm. you know, the movement is at its forefront, and a member of their choir named Tom Amiano said, quote, "I remember an argument over whether to include the word gay in the title.
Yes.
Until the mid to late 70s, any mention of gay was sensationalized and lurid. Gay bashing mm-hmm. was tacitly approved. If a gay man called the police about being harassed, they would arrest him." So that's a member of the San Francisco choir in 1978, not necessarily 82 when the AIDS crisis is kind of picking up there.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a big deal that this group was called the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of choruses starting at that time, and there are many of them that have existed for 35 years or about that time that do not have the word gay, have never had the word gay in their name. So it was a big deal to include gay, Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. You're absolutely right.
Thoughts on that, Ted?
I think it's an amazing thought that in 1982, these five gentlemen, one of whom still sings from the founding five, included the word gay. I was not even aware of a closet then. I was, I won't say my age because Dr. Strauss will probably hit me, but but I just see it as it was a beacon of hope and a beacon for young men in this community to know that there were brave men who weren't afraid to put gay out there in the title of the chorus, and to offer sanctuary and a safe place, mm-hmm. which the Rochester Gaiman's Course is still to this day. It's a sanctuary. It's a safe place. It's a family.
How many members today?
About 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roughly 50. Wavers a little from cycle to cycle, but we're pretty strong at 50. And we get new members every cycle, and we have members who come and go depending on their lives and their schedule.
Yeah. But I should say 50 per concert, but mm-hmm. probably the total membership through the years, 80 or so.
Yeah.
You're going to hear some music coming up here, a performance that producer Megan Mack warned me might have us all in tears. Uh-huh. So that's coming up. Let me ask Thomas your thoughts on that. When you think about 1982, the inclusion of the word gay, the pride that came with that, but also understanding what the landscape was like at the time.
Well, you know, I grew up in Rochester in the 70s, basically, and I never heard or saw the word gay till maybe the end of the 70s and maybe the back page of the Village Voice or something. But it was not a word that was commonly used. And so one of the wonderful things about Rochester, though, was that there was actually a very strong gay community here, very involved with liberation movement and things like that. And so you, as a young gay man, you really did feel a sense that there was somewhere you could go. There was some, well, there was the Gay Alliance. They had a library, and so there was a place you could kind of feel connected to. And by the time the Gay Men's Chorus came about, I was already living in New York at that time. But I would come back to do special guest performances uh-huh. with them, and then later in their years, when I moved back to Rochester, I started the World AIDS Day benefit concert. And the Gay Men's Chorus was really the very first organization that helped me to put that together.
When was that, Thomas?
That was 93, maybe, mm-hmm. or 4, somewhere around there. And then it went on. Well, it just ended a few years back. We just ended it. But they were always involved. I think also a thing about the Gay Men's Chorus is, you know, after a sort of a history of sort of political and cultural assassination, you might say, and during the time of this sort of deadly virus, you know, these things started to mold, I think, identity around LGBT people. And so to be able to then create your own identity, to celebrate who you are and to bring some beauty into your life, into your community, I think that's in a way what the Gay Men's Chorus has wonderfully done for 35 years. They've really made a place of self-affirmation for not only LGBT people, though, but if you look at the audience, it's very cross-section of demographics. And so everyone has this sense, I think, about wanting self-affirmation and wanting to be valued and worthy and respected. And so I think that is sort of a byproduct, in a sense, that comes out of singing this wonderful music.
You go back to World AIDS Day, again, starting in the early 90s, but by then, you know, there was a decade of the damage
yes.
that had been done. How do you recall the 1980s and what it took to change perceptions?
Well, in the 1980s, I was in New York, and I was volunteering at, what was then later be called Gay Men's Health Crisis. But, you know, people didn't know what to do at first because nobody knew what it was. Nobody knew how you got it. I mean, there was all these questions. But we just knew that we had to help people who were struggling and not surviving. And by the early 90s, some of that there were new medicines then. And so some of that had kind of subsided. But there was still a lot of people suffering with HIV and AIDS and not living. And I think also that by the time the 90s came around, the tension on HIV and AIDS was kind of dwindling. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what kind of sparked me to want to bring this attention to it on World AIDS Day, that we can't forget. And I think that the Gay Men's Chorus really embodied that idea as well, that, you know, whatever our lives are, we can't forget to celebrate them, and also we can't forget to include. We have to be included in the community. We're not some under the ground or hidden thing. We're part of this community, and what we're going through, you're going through. Mm-hmm.
John is a longtime supporter. When do you recall discovering the Gay Men's Chorus?
I recall discovering the chorus in the 80s, and in fact, going to a chorus concert was my first experience of being an out gay person going to a gay identified event. So the sense of community that is now perhaps taken for granted was not there in Rochester. It made the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus a very, very special place for people to be together, a safe space, and to understand the power of activism through music. And music, I think, has always touched people in a very special way. So I think that that made those years very special. And on a personal note, I met my husband through the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. So there's a connection, lifelong, now 30 years together.
Oh, first of all, congratulations. You met through the Gay Men's Chorus, as in he's
yes.
in the chorus, or you were both attending?
He was a singer and I was a volunteer.
Uh-huh.
So let's hear it for volunteerism, and
yes.
let's hear it for the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus.
I wanted... Who asked who out, John? That's what I want to know.
It was mutual, of course, Evan.
Oh, yeah.
And I also want to say that the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus throughout its history has been a terrific community citizen. I have been very engaged personally and professionally in the nonprofit world over the years, and RGMC always steps up to the plate to be there, singing, to volunteer, wherever it is in the community that the LGBT community needed a representative. There are multiple representatives now. In the early days, there were not. And the gentlemen of the chorus were there to sing and be present.
Let me ask you, John, and in a moment, we're going to tie this into what's the events that are coming up, because they have their 35th anniversary fundraiser. They've got upcoming performances. And if you've seen RGMC, there are people of all backgrounds who attend. It's not just men who are gay who attend, by the way. It's
or
everybody.
Or who sing, by the way.
Or who sing.
Yeah.
But but I do wonder, John, because you mentioned your first experience as an out gay man was kind of attending and being in that part of the world. The attendance in the 1980s or that you recall, or in that early decade, was it mostly people in the LGBTQ community attending? And did you see that change over the years?
Yes. Early on, I think it was the LGBT community supporting its own. And then LGBT people saw the strength of having friends and family as allies to make their cause be known in the community and to succeed. And now the ally community in the audience, on the board of the chorus, and volunteering is super strong and very important to the vitality mm-hmm. of the RGMC.
And now you've got these events coming up, and I want you guys to know, I want all of our listeners to know exactly why they're here. We're talking about the history of the Gay Men's Chorus, 35 years, and their 35th anniversary fundraiser, Rob Strauss, that's coming up on Saturday, November 18th. So that is, three Saturdays from now, something like that?
It is
something like that
indeed. And it's actually on the 35th anniversary of the very first rehearsal, which I just...
That day, November 18th, 1982.
Yeah, I don't want to give credit to Ted Smith, who's sitting to my right, but he's the one who had that idea when he discovered it was on a Saturday. We need to do something on that very night to celebrate the chorus.
And so the event starts at 6:30. It'll go until 10 p.m. Saturday, November 18th at the MAG, the Memorial Art Gallery Ballroom. And what are you going to have there? What do you want people to know about that event?
I'm going to let Ted talk about it.
Okay.
It's actually going to be a birthday celebration, so we're going to have food and drinks and a raffle. One of our components that evening, we're having a small casino night, so people can they'll get some play money when they arrive, and they'll be able to buy tickets for the raffle and stuff with that. But basically, we want it to be a celebration, so we're inviting everyone to come, mingle, talk, share stories. One of the centerpieces is going to be a 35th anniversary display. We're getting back into our archives. We're pulling photos and stories and collecting stories. And so we're going to have a display for people to browse through and just kind of come together. And it's going to be – we actually made a conscious decision not to have the chorus performing the whole event. you know, because it's their birthday as well. So chorus members will be there.
Sometimes you want a party, man.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. So, and we'll be at the Memorial Art Gallery in the ballroom, and we're really excited because, you know, when I did find out that the 35th was exactly on a Saturday, I thought, for some reason, I fixated on that. I said, we have to do that. We have to do it on this day.
And yeah.
It just, to me, it seems a very special date.
You can get tickets right now at their website. It's therggmc.org. Therggmc.org. Tickets are $60, but if you purchase them before the end of next week, they're $50. And you got a chance to do that now. You know, Rob, when you think about the ways that this organization can grow, you mentioned just a moment ago, some people might think it's all gay men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily the case.
Well, it isn't. We have in the last couple of years had straight men singing with us. I mean, it's happened before, but consistently. One of them was kind of fun about it because he joined the chorus, and I don't ask questions at the voice placement. I just listen to them to see if they can match pitch and where they'll fit in. And he emailed me a couple weeks later to say, sort of the asking for a friend sort of thing. by the way, can straight men join your chorus? And I said, sure. You know, in my cute, inappropriate way, said, there's no test, so yeah, that's fine. So he said, oh, good, because I'm straight. But, and in the last year, we have our first female member. So she sings in a tenor range and shares the stage with us, but we're thrilled to have her with us, and trans individuals singing with us, and so we're trying to include a whole spectrum of people.
What's the ideal number? I mean, if you've got, you know, roughly 50 active members right now, mm-hmm. where do you want to be?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I'm not going to turn anybody away who wants to participate, who can sing and wants to participate. So if it grows beyond that, I've heard tell, we're part of the Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses, which includes, of course, the big guns like San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. And they say that at about 60 members, the dynamic changes just a little bit. It's a little less family-like and a little bit more maybe business-like in a way. So I like our fun and friendly mm-hmm. and kind of family feeling that we have at 50 members.
Well, let me ask Rob about that dynamic. You're thinking about music choices and
mm-hmm.
what you want to program. I want to warn listeners, in just a few minutes, we're going to listen to a performance that if you are not in a space where you want people to see you crying,
mm-hmm.
you might want to move to that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to warn you. That's what's coming up here. But Rob, you and I talked on this program, I don't know, it was earlier this year, late last
yeah.
year, about the power of music and
mm-hmm.
Especially when there are events, you can look at Orlando and Pulse, mm-hmm. but there are so many more, the power of music to be healing. But you also sometimes just want to perform great music, too, that's not necessarily tied. So how do you balance what you want to do, and how do you approach that?
Well, we do 3 concerts a year, and when we're planning them, I have a committee that gathers opinions and brings their own. And so when I'm picking out these concerts, I try to have a balance. You know, some people want to sing fun pop music from their youth, and so I try to program that in one of them. There are all these great shows and sort of packaged concerts coming out of the Gala Chorus movement. We'll be doing one in March called Two Boys Kissing. So to include that's got a strong LGBT message and sort of a different format and new music. And then, you know, I'm classically trained, so if every once in a while I can throw in a classical piece or two. And I know our membership, our chorus isn't genre-driven. Mm-hmm. We're not an early music group. We're not an opera group. We're a bunch of people who get together for a mission and to sing together. So I've got people in the group who, like I say, want to do pop music all the time, every time. I've got people who want to do classical music all the time, anytime, or who want to, it's always mission. It must be mission. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance. With the 3 concerts, I get the opportunity to either please everybody a little bit or anger everybody a little bit, depending.
What is the piece that you have never done that you want to do badly, that you know in your heart you're going to do eventually?
Oh, you're going to have to come back to me at the end of the... We've done so many great things that there isn't something that's been in the back that's looming. So that's my answer for now.
Is there one that you chose that everyone went, I don't know, and then afterwards they went, wow, that was amazing. Rob was right. You're going to say all of them.
Well, no. Last March we did Tyler Sweet. I don't know who
would object to that. It was incredible.
Well, but it's sometimes when there's not a recording and people don't know the piece. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to sing that. I don't know it.
You want to let our audience remind them what the Tyler Sweet was?
Tyler Sweet was a 9-song song cycle. 9 different composers wrote songs that reflected on the life of Tyler Clementi and his family, Tyler Clementi being a young man who committed suicide after being cyberbullied for being gay. Mm. So, but it was some of those, you sang that cycle.
Yeah.
So some of the members, it took them till the concert to really believe that this was good music.
I'll ask the rest of the panel then for a standout piece or a moment from Rochester Gay Men's Choir history, a piece that you can remember or something that really moved you. Ted?
Oh, I have the shortest history here at the table, I think, at 5 years. But I've enjoyed all of the cycles I've sung in so far, including this one. I do. I enjoyed our ABBA concert 2 years ago because that was just so high energy, and they're such an iconic band, especially in the LGBT community. And then I did enjoy the Liz Callaway concert we did when we had Liz Callaway as our guest. And my spouse had danced with her on Broadway and stuff, so that was the connection there. But she was just such a wonderful guest artist. And I can remember being on stage singing, and she sang with us and on her own. But when she was singing with us, she wasn't just singing to the audience. She would turn and sing to us as a chorus to include, so we felt a strong connection with her, and it was just a lot of delight.
Okay. Thomas?
Well, I've always been a guest artist with the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus, and actually I'm going to be again this December.
Yes.
Once the chorus sang a composition of mine, and they were going to actually sing it again this December. It was many years ago, but it was the first time that that composition actually had been sung by a chorus. And so I was so overwhelmed when I came to rehearsal the first time and heard them singing what had always been a solo, you know, and it had all these choral parts to it. And it was so beautiful. So that's maybe my fondest memory, really. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called All One Voice.
And we're going to hear it in December.
We're going to hear it in December.
We're going to hear it in December.
Yeah. Okay. John?
And for me, it would be Michael's letter to his mother.
Oh, yes.
This is a choral piece with a soloist who sings and narrates. It's taken from the text of Armistead Maupin's work, Tales of the City, set in San Francisco. Formative literature for a whole generation of LGBT folks and other literary types who got a portrait of the rich variety of San Francisco. This particular piece is his coming out to his mother, and it has a very powerful message that has always moved me.
There's no doubt that, coming out stories will probably be with us for a long time, though. Mm-hmm. I think, and John was sort of implying that, you think about your time in the 1980s versus now. How different do you think it is for the 20-somethings now, the teens now, the people who are discovering their own identity and understanding it, and then letting their friends and family know? How much do you think that has evolved?
The identity question, I think, is timeless and challenging forevermore. The circumstances of support in the community, I think, are richer, more vibrant, and more nurturing. And in that, they are walking into companies that have policies to support them. There are organizational structures in the community that are helpful. But again, it's a personal thing. It will always be personal and powerful to the individual who is coming out.
Do you think young gay Americans have an appreciation for what your generation went through to put them in a position for to have that support?
I think they have some, and they have an increasing appreciation of it. When elders in the community are willing to share, and Out Alliance is doing that through programming, and the very powerful film Shoulders to Stand On, which was made in this community, provides a video document of that history.
We're enjoying the conversation on the history and the future of the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. And Thomas Warfield just mentioned that his piece, again, what was the name of the piece?
All One Voice.
All One Voice. So real briefly here, and then we're going to get our break, and you're going to hear some music coming up here. But you've got your next performance is on Saturday, December 16th, and Sunday, December 17th, yes?
That's correct. Okay. 7:30 on Saturday, 3 p.m. on Sunday. It's our holiday concert, My Favorite Things. And one of our favorite things is that we're going to be joined by Thomas Warfield, who will sing with us and sing some songs on his own. We'll also be joined by the Flower City Pride Band, which is an LGBTQ marching band, I think. They're going to be standing still for our concert, as I understand it. But and we range from, you know, classical holiday pieces to secular favorites to really campy, funny things that they had to twist my arm to get me to do.
So Saturday, December 16th, that's a 7:30 p.m. concert. Then Sunday, December 17th, the matinee at 3 p.m. where?
Hochstein Performance Hall.
At Hochstein. So all the details at their website, thergmc.org. Thergmc.org will tell you about their March performance of Two Boys Kissing as well coming up. But after this break, you're going to hear a performance of something called Names. And after this only break, please don't use this 30 seconds to go anywhere else, because you're going to want to hear this. We'll have Rob help us understand what we're about to hear after our only break of the hour. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, where do you stand on a constitutional convention for New York State? You'll have a chance to vote on it. If you want to understand the issue better, we've got people on both sides of the issue explaining their case and taking your questions in our first hour. In our second hour, an upcoming climate summit aims at helping us all understand, no matter who we are, what we can do to combat climate change. That's Thursday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. The Rochester Gay Men's Chorus turns 35 on Saturday, November 18th. That is 35 years to the day, as Ted Smith, the board chair, was telling us, that those five or six guys in 1982 got together for their first rehearsal. So they're celebrating 35 years with their 35th anniversary fundraiser. That is Saturday, November 18th from 6:30 to 10 at the Memorial Art Gallery. Jump on their website, thergmc.org, for details, tickets, information. We're talking about their future, their advocacy, the work they've done in this community related to many, many issues. And in getting ready, we said, you know, producer Megan Mack and I were talking about the fact that, you know, we've got to listen to some music. And she came to me this morning and said, we do clips of songs or those kind of things. And she said, there's one we probably ought to play in full. But, you know, it may very well move you to tears, and it's called Names. And I would like Rob to tell us about it before we listen.
Okay, I'll try to be brief. For our 30th anniversary, obviously 5 years ago, we were looking for a piece we could do to honor those members that we'd lost in our history. And a member brought this piece to me. It's called Names. The composer is Mark Allen DeWaters, and it was his reaction to the AIDS quilt. He saw the AIDS quilt, thought about the loss of a generation of gay men, and wrote this piece. The text, however, isn't specific to the AIDS quilt. It's designed so that names can be read, and we performed the piece and at that point read the names of those board members and singing members and volunteers who had worked with us but who had passed away before that date. We repeated the piece, and I think this is the recording we're going to hear, when we went to the Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses Festival in Denver, Colorado in 2016. We also featured it on our concert premiere, which was works that had been written for us or that we had premiered. So at that point, we included the names of transgender individuals who had met their end through violence over the last 12 months. At that point, because we couldn't include more names than that, so that as I say, I think is the performance we're going to hear.
All right, this is called Names. Let's listen.
Amber Munro, Candace Reed, Elisha. Monica Loera. Themis Meany. Goddess Diamond. Tyrese Walker. Peggy Hayes. Joy Schroeder.
Yeah. The soloist was Scott Schutz. I feel like I should say his name. Our pianist, Mark Brennan. I believe the percussionist was Kristen Shiner McGuire. And if it wasn't, I want to say her name anyway, because she's a big friend of the chorus. We also, as I was listening to that, it's so beautiful. We also were invited to perform that at the Puerto Rican Festival that year. And at that, we honored the Pulse victims.
It's the kind of structure that you can adapt it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there have been moments to adapt to.
Exactly.
But the performance is called Names. We're talking to a panel from the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus, which turns 35 years old, formed in 1982. Five guys, and I guess in a living room, is that right?
So, yeah.
So Ted was saying. Ted, let's pull you out of it, Ted. I see the emotion coming out of you as well there. How does that song hit you?
I have cried every time we've done it. Even just thinking about it, it's so powerful and brings forth to the forefront of my memories those that we've lost, both not only nationally, people we just read about in the newspaper or on TV, but also personal people that I've known, family members or friends from college or students that I've had. And it's a sobering experience to hear it, to sing it, because it's a reminder that we can't take life for granted. We can't take our friendships or our family for granted. And we don't really truly understand what our loss is going to be until we experience it. And it just, you know, even right now I'm just having a hard time vocalizing it. But I think it's really just such a strong emotional piece that brings us together as a community.
When you're singing, can you set that aside and focus on the music, or is it impossible to do that entirely?
It's not impossible, but I will admit there are a couple of lines, you know, a couple of phrase, you know, sections in the song where I might, you know, and some of the other rest of us where we're...
They take turns.
Yeah.
We kind of... Luckily, they take turns.
We take turns
and
breathing.
And it makes the performance better that the emotion is there.
And I think since it brings out that raw emotion, it really, I think... makes it so much more real.
We're talking, you're hearing Ted Smith, who's a board chair for the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus, Dr. Rob Strauss, artistic mm-hmm. director, John Williams, a longtime supporter, and Thomas Warfield, who is a Rochester Gay Men's Chorus alumnus, who is going to be back with them for their December performances. My Favorite Things coming up in December. Two Boys Kissing is the theme in March, and then back to Broadway in June. Three performances a year, all of them at the Hochstein Performance Hall. And you can jump online for tickets and information at thergmc.org. They also have, in just a few Saturdays from now, Saturday, November 18th, their 35th anniversary fundraiser. And I know they'd love to see you there starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Memorial Art Gallery. So much more information online there. Now, in 35 years, everyone at this table has gotten a little older. That's the cruelty of time. It's a cruel
Not
thing.
All of us.
Speak for yourself, Rob.
Right, exactly.
You know,
I'm 32.
Yes. Whether it's male pattern baldness or, you know, except for you, Thomas. But all of us besides Thomas look older. I'm curious to know when you build a course like this, how you make sure that you are bringing in young voices, et cetera. I think 18 is your youngest. Is that right? 18 or 19 in the chorus?
Currently, I think so. Mm-hmm. There's still not a test.
Okay. Yeah. How important is it to you to make sure that the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus is appealing to all voices, and you know, also targeting, you know, the youth to say, hey, come in, join us, and be heard.
Well, I'll say that we try. We try to be appealing to all of them. It was actually something, I became the artistic director in 2009. And at that point, there were lots of discussions about that and the interesting problem that the average age of the chorus got 1 year older every year because they weren't bringing in anybody younger. New members were coming in. Luckily, over my 9 years, our average age has dropped, and we haven't lost a lot of those older members. So I think we're sort of younger by two, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a math problem, and I just confused myself. But I think there are a lot of reasons. People are enjoying the music that we're doing. They're enjoying the rehearsal process. They're getting something valuable out of both of those things. It's a delicate balance because if it's all fun, nothing substantial happens. If nothing but substantial things happen, nobody's having fun. I think it's mostly word of mouth that people join the chorus, enjoy or feel empowered by what they're doing, and they tell their friends.
What's the audition process? How do you get in?
There's information on our website, so I'll point there. But at the beginning of each cycle, September, January, and March, you just show up for the hour before the rehearsal, and I have a potential member sing some scales, make sure they can match pitch, make sure they can sing in a tenor or baritone or bass range, and then they get to try us out for a little while.
How often do you turn people away?
I haven't, because I haven't had anybody who didn't match pitch.
Now, come on here, because listen. Here's the thing, Rob. I would think my first thought would be anybody who is going to go out for a choir could actually sing. I mean, most people who can't sing wouldn't. But then I've seen American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who cannot sing who are convinced that they can.
You know, it's funny.
And your choir is amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to take that compliment. But, you know, I have more trouble convincing people that they can than having to tell them that they can't.
Interesting.
I think more members of the chorus who sing now would even say, well, I think the way they say it is, I don't have a solo voice. Well, you don't have to. I don't. If you can hold your part or follow along with the person next to you who is holding your part, that's great. And then I work with that. And
if you know, just heard
we,
names.
Well, we work
oh
with that.
Oh, my gosh. Just remarkable. I mean, just that one performance we listened to, clearly you have a lot of talent that you're working with.
That is true.
No doubt about it. And we had a caller wanted to know, Lauren called in to ask, is there anywhere online where we can read the names listed?
Oh.
It's a good question.
I will look for an answer to that question. Somewhere, perhaps. I have it on a computer, but that doesn't help her.
Lauren, jump on their website, thergmc.org, for Rochester Gay Men's Chorus, and send them a note, and maybe that'll prompt Rob to kind of think about how to do it.
Yes,
that's
thank
a great
you.
Idea. It's a great idea.
Because I think that video's on YouTube, and I'll make sure that the names are listed. That's a great idea. We should do that.
It is a beautiful idea. Thanks for that, Lauren. And we've got Dr. Bill Valenti on the line who wanted to call the program. Hi, Dr. Valenti. Go ahead.
Hey. Good afternoon, everybody. I wanted to say two things. One is... congratulations on the 35th anniversary and many more. And the other is, you know, from my perspective, music is good medicine. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Valenti, have you seen some performances over the years?
I have indeed. And I was there recently. In fact, I sold a few books.
If he wasn't going to do commercial, I was going to. He just wrote a wonderful book.
He did. Yes, he did. Dr. Valenti, thanks for the phone call. It's always great to hear from you. Dr. Bill Valenti, who has done such great work in this community. I mean, again, you talk about, and he's told his stories from his book here on this program, but that's one of the reasons I asked John earlier in the program, just what we think teens and 20-somethings think now, because the struggle is different. I'm not saying the struggle is not real. It's real. The struggle is different. And Dr. Valenti and people like that have been at the forefront, often fearlessly. So, Dr. Valenti, thank you for that. We've got a few minutes left for the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. Their artistic director, Rob Strauss, is here. You just heard about how you can join them if you like, and they just want you to show up, and they'll find a suitable place for you. Mm-hmm. I want to ask Thomas Warfield, what Dr. Valenti says music is good medicine. Have there been moments in your life where you felt like it's not just fun, but it's medicine?
It's always medicine. You know, music is healing, and I think it's really the vibration of sound that's so universal. No matter where you go in the world, people have a reaction or some impact around music. And so, you know, and it's not only that it moves us, but music, like we just heard, releases something in us. And so I think that's the part of the healing part of it, that it's really a way of expressing something that there's no other way to express it. You know, I think mm-hmm. art in general is really a validation of our humanity. You know, there's something beyond our thinking, something beyond that gets to our heart of the soul of who we are, and I think that's what music does.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. What about you, Jen, in terms of taking it in as a volunteer, as someone who appreciates what they've been doing for 35 years? How's it hit you?
It's been a must on the calendar in my household and a chance to introduce new audiences. If you're my friend, I want you to know about the RGMC and what a great thing it is to gather together to share this experience. There will always be something special. There always has been historically about experiencing something communally. We talk about it in music. We talk about it in film. Has often in modern culture become a very personal and private experience, but how special it is to be with others and experience this great music and these great gentlemen who are producing it.
Well, I have a really busy calendar. In fact, what your March performance I'm going to ask you about now, Rob, mm-hmm. of Two Boys Kissing, I'm not even going to be in this country. Because no. otherwise what I would tell you is, I don't have a solo voice, but I do love to blend and hide my voice. Amongst.
Okay, sure enough.
So maybe in the Fair future, enough. When I'm back in the soil. When
I will not say no.
You're
as
not
long as you can
no?
match pitch.
as long as I can match pitch. In March, Saturday, March 24th, is Two Boys Kissing. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I've mentioned the Gala Choruses, Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses. That organization is wonderful. We come together every 4 years. They do a festival where the member groups get to perform for each other. And all of the larger groups, and by that I mean New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Chicago, San Francisco, they do really great works that they've had written for them. This one is Two Boys Kissing was written for the Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus, and it's based on a book by David Levitan of the same title, Two Boys Kissing. It follows three different stories. One is of two boys who are trying to break the world record for the longest kiss as a result of one of them being gay bashed to bring awareness. One is two boys who met at a gay prom, which is something that wasn't happening in 1982, at a gay prom. And spoiler alert, one of them is transgender. So that's part of it. And the third story is of a young man who isn't out to his conservative Christian parents. And I'll say that he gets discovered when he falls asleep at the computer. It's an interesting work. We're teaming up with Blackfriars Theater. The composer, I think, refers to it as a modern opera, which I'm not sure is the right way to talk about it. Some have called it choral opera, a modern oratorio. And I think that fits better because there are 6 to 8 actors out front narrating the story, not solo voice singers, but actors. And the Blackfriars will be working on that piece as the chorus reflects on the action of those three stories. It's really, really great. I'm very excited about the concert. I think that when I talk about it, I don't get other people as excited as I am, so I apologize for that. I'm going to try to work on that. But those of us who saw it, I know Ted was there too, we couldn't talk for at least an hour afterwards without crying. It was beautiful and powerful and magical and horrible and all the things that great art is and can be. So I'm excited to present that.
Saturday, March 24th, that's mm-hmm. at 7:30 p.m. And again, information at thergmc.org. And then back to Broadway, Saturday, June 16th.
That's our actual anniversary concert because the first concert was in May of 1983. So we're a month late, but... some people would call that gay time, but I suppose that's offensive. In any case, we'll be joined. Our MC will be Mrs. Kasha Davis, our one of our drag queens who was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race and does wonderful things. But Mrs. Kasha Davis also happens to sing live and very well, so we'll be performing with her and doing many of our favorite Broadway hits.
Again, all performances at Hochstein Performance Hall. So there's your season calendar. Performances in December, March, and June. But first, you've got Saturday, November 18th at the Memorial Art Gallery starting at 6:30, their 35th anniversary fundraiser. And that falls 35 years to the night of the first rehearsal for the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus back in 1982. So you can get tickets now at thergmc.org. We're going to close the hour by listening to Silent Movie. You want to tell us a little bit about
Great. Movie? Well, you know, it's also Mark Allen DeWaters. That was for our premiere concert, and I'd reached out to him. As I said, that concert was works commissioned by, written for, or premiered by the chorus. And I asked him if he had anything else, and his thought was that he would arrange something he'd already written. He didn't have time to write us a new piece, but apparently this silent movie kept nagging him. And so it was a brand new piece. It's just, it's sort of his, I think, coming out story in a way.
RGMC is an institution in Rochester. Congratulations on 35 years.
Thank you.
Rob is the artistic director, Ted Smith, board chair. Great having you. Thomas Warfield, who we'll see you in December, and it's great to have you as an alumnus telling your stories. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
And John Williams, a longtime supporter of the Rochester Gay Men's Chorus. Thanks for being here, John. As we close the hour, let's listen to Silent Movie.
Yeah.